Mic check, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2.
You're tuned to the sounds of the Steinway crew.
You know what I'm saying?
Welcome to Soundboard, the Steinway & Sons podcast. I'm your host, Ben Finan, editor-in-chief of Listen, Life with Music and Culture, a print quarterly published by Steinway & Sons. Visit steinway.com/listen to subscribe or learn more. My guest today is the Steinway artist Robert Glasper, a jazz pianist with R&B leanings. Glasper reveals in our interview,
"I feel like I was put on Earth for crossover."
Glasper is a two-time Grammy winner for his albums Black Radio and Black Radio 2. He recently wrote music for the score of the Miles Davis film Miles Ahead, and released an album of covers for jazz trio titled Covered. He spoke to me from Steinway's global headquarters in New York City.
I check the music climate and see what I feel the universe needs and what I feel like where I'm at, you know what I mean? And then I do a project.
I'm using that.
That's literally what I do. Because I feel like I have to, you know, when I see what's wrong in the music industry, I'm like, okay, you know what, let me put this in there.
How do you know?
It's not about me, or this is just what I want to do.
How do you know what's wrong?
Because I just listen to what everybody's doing. I check out all the new artists coming out. I see what artists are crossing over, and I just see what's happening. You know what I mean? That's why I actually went back to trio. Because people were in the music climate in the world were asking me to play trio. They wanted to hear me play more piano. I just signed with Steinway. It was like all this stuff was happening at the same time. So it made sense. Like, you know what? Yeah, let me do a piano trio album. And since we already won those two Grammys for R&B, mm-hmm. I can take a step away from R&B for a second and reveal to the R&B people what I really do, you know? And so it was like, hey, let me do this record, cover it, but do some songs y'all might have heard before. To kind of close the gap.
Okay. You know?
And then, so this is like gap closing.
So you're telling me there's a two-way relationship time. Between audience and artist.
Oh, you have to be.
You're okay with giving the people what they want.
You have to. I mean, if you don't, then it's like masturbation.
Mm-hmm.
Musical masturbation. You're just there for yourself.
Or your ivory tower.
Whatever, yeah. Yeah. You know? It depends on your thing. Because for me, I have a lot of different sides. So I can choose what side of me I want to get to the audience that they can understand and they like. If you have one side only, if you're just one-dimensional, then you have a problem. Because you can only do one thing. And if those people don't like that one thing you can do, then that's it for you. Which could be great if you're Bon Jovi or something
right.
Works for you.
That's right.
You can
play Slippery when wet for the next 40 years.
Totally. But when you're struggling, when you're a musician, mm-hmm. and it behooves you to be able to do more than one thing. So you can kind of grasp a little bit from each crowd. I'm not selling out Madison Square Garden,
right.
You know. But in my little audience of what I have, I know that I can grasp a group from every group, you know, because of the different styles I play. And so I cater to that. You know, Miles catered to that. I asked Herbie, when I was with Herbie during the Miles movie shooting, how come on the bootlegs of the Miles, of all the Miles bootlegs I hear, I never hear bootlegs of like Pinocchio or Nefertiti or Riot or, you know, Fall, any of those dope tunes that y'all recorded? And Herbie said, because at that time period when we recorded those songs, no one knew our records. No one knew those songs. Miles wanted to play songs people knew.
Right.
That's why when you hear Miles bootlegs of live shows, it's always standards. It was always Around Midnight and, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. Stella by Starlight, mm-hmm. and all these other, you know, There's No Greater Love. Just all these standards because Miles wanted to play songs that people knew.
And that's what, you know, that's what you've done with using standards of today. People don't know Stella by Starlight anymore. Kids don't know that.
No.
But they know Radiohead.
Exactly.
They know, you know, Joni's in the songbook.
Exactly. And Kendrick Lamar and Bilal. Yeah, that's what my climate is right now. So I'm just playing to that, you know. But I put Stella by Starlight on the album and I flipped it in a way that they can appreciate mm-hmm. it.
Whether you know that tune.
Whether you know that tune or not, people are always like, yo, what's that dope tune where the drummer's doing that beat? What's that groove? Because, yeah, it's stupid, you know what I mean? But it made it accessible, You know, mm-hmm. sometimes you got to put a little seasoning on something for somebody else to eat it. My son, you know, sometimes I have to, you know, you got to put a little syrup on mm-hmm. or a little honey on something.
Kids love that ketchup. Yeah. It hits you.
And guess what? They're eating it.
Yeah.
He's eating Cheerios now. Plain Cheerios with a little honey on it, though.
Okay. But that's not honey nut.
Not honey nut. You know what I'm saying? But that's what I'm giving them. A little jazz with a little honey on it.
Okay. Okay, so you talked about all your sides. Let's get into what those sides are for people who don't know you like I know you.
You know what I'm saying? Not that side, Ben.
So you got more than just R&B leanings. You got pop leanings. You got rock leanings. Tell me how you arrived, Robert, at your rather expansive aesthetic.
My eclectic palette. my enigmaticism. Came from my mom. My mom was a singer and pianist, and you know, she did a lot of different gigs. Like literally 7 days a week, she would do shows, and every day of the week it was like a different show. So she would do literally a jazz. She played this little jazz club where she would just play piano and sing standards. Then she would do a country western gig on another day, literally in a barn. No, literally, it's a club that was shaped like a barn in Houston. Hay around everything. Another night it'll be all R&B, you know, Aretha Franklin, Shaka. Sundays she was the music director at church, you know. She had a more pop rock gig where she would do songs from Billy Joel. So that's why I'm a big Billy Joel fan, you know.
Full disclosure, ladies and gentlemen. We went to the Billy Joel concert together.
Oh, yes. That was awesome.
It was awesome.
One of the greatest times of my life. It was amazing.
Robert was a raisin in the sun.
You know what I mean?
But he, you know,
yeah,
he made it through.
I did. And when he played the So It Goes, I lost it. I love it. Yeah, you know, all the Elton John tunes and, you know, all those tunes she used to play and sing. So then when I go to school, it's hip-hop now. You know, then it's rock music now.
Right.
I grew up as a skateboarder, actually.
Mm-hmm.
I was a skater. I was one of those, you know, four black dudes in the white neighborhood, and all my friends were white, and we built half pints and skated,
sure.
and listened to rock. You know what I mean? Like it was Red Hot Chili Peppers,
grunge.
Queen,
it was grunge.
All that grunge, yeah,
pre-grunge,
all that. Mm-hmm. You know, that was around time when Nirvana first came out. I first heard Teen Spirit, I was like sixth grade. You know, which is where my love for that song comes from.
So let's put all that together. How does it, you're able to harness that now?
Now it's just what it is. Mm-hmm. I literally don't know how not to do that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? It's not
how not to, let that contaminate what you're doing.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like a blender. Like all this stuff is in the blender and this is just what it is. This is the juice and I don't know how to separate it. I can separate it. No, I don't want to say I don't know how. You know, it's not one of them things where it's like, a lot of times when you're a gospel musician, everything you play sounds like gospel.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? It's not that, because I can separate things and make it sound authentic separately. You know, but I guess what I'm trying to say is meshing things together comes easier for me. And playing those things authentically comes easy because I played them all my life. I played weddings growing up. I used to play with my mom and her band.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I've literally come up playing all this music. When it comes to hip-hop, I play with all the masters, most of the masters of the genre. When it comes to jazz, I play with most of the masters of the genre. You know, so I've studied everything I'm doing. It's not like one of them things where I'm playing at the genre because it's cool. Mm-hmm. I've literally played all these things on stage with people of that era.
Right.
And so that's very important in learning anything, when you're doing anything, to study it. You know, you can't just pick up some kind of surgery tools and go in, but, all right, yo, I'm going to cut your stomach open. You know, it's like, you might want to study a little bit. I don't think so. You know, so I don't want to give people that same thing musically. You know what I mean? So
your playing's very sensitive. It's very deft. It's very smooth. I'd say you drift more toward harmony, mm-hmm. than toward dissonance. There's mm-hmm. some dissonance there, mm-hmm. but it's judiciously used.
Yes, totally.
So
yeah.
Is that a conscious decision, or is that, again, just an output of what's gone in?
Yeah. When it comes to dissonance and using a lot of dissonance, you almost have to, when you're playing, for me, the audience I'm trying to win over, that will totally, it will lose them completely.
Mm-hmm.
It will totally lose them. Most of the time when you're playing very, very dissonant, it's only people who understand that in the first place.
So this is a conscious populism.
Oh, totally.
On your part.
Oh, totally, yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, my stuff, I want people that listen to the radio to listen mm-hmm. to my music. I feel like that's how you cross over. You know, that for me, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
That's literally how you cross over. You do something that they kind of understand already. They kind of have a relationship. A reference point. And that's what's wrong with the music. The jazz music today, there's no reference to today anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Jazz music, most people, when they're playing jazz, their reference is, you know, it's from the 60s.
Right.
For the most part, the big majority of the music, there are people who are playing themselves now, but for the majority of jazz musicians, you know, we're stuck we're 50 years ago.
Mm-hmm. And there's also, I would say, an unfortunate cluster of jazz musicians who are going toward... who consciously go toward the inaccessible and the esoteric.
Oh, yeah, totally.
It's an inside.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, all right, tonight we're going to do the tritone substitution on the
bug. Exactly. You know what I mean? And you're preaching to the choir.
Right.
You're not
That's
gaining
right.
any new fans. Those kind of cats
yeah.
never gain new fans. Their fan base is always the same.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's always the same people who understand that already
right.
or who like that. That's it. You know
mm-hmm.
what I mean? And that's one thing. I'm not
right.
knocking
it's
that.
Good. That's good. But
it's good, but
it's not going to get you a crowd.
Not at all.
Yeah.
Not at all. Or and I feel like I was put on earth for crossover.
Okay.
I feel like that's what I'm here for.
Hold it right there. Jazz has long influenced hip-hop,
yes.
Robert Glasper. But now I would say we're at the point where hip-hop is influencing jazz.
Totally.
Because, so first of all, that's a fair statement.
Totally fair.
Now, in your music specifically, I hear it in... what hip-hop for a long time has been calling loops,
right.
where the loops actually become the main
exactly.
material. Can you
exactly.
speak to that?
Yeah, I mean, it's really, and what's funny is, it's really not even new, because it comes before hip-hop, actually, because
right.
even Train knew that. It's meditation.
Mm-hmm.
No, that's why Train would just have one chord and vamp on that one chord, because then it's a mantra, it's prayer,
mm-hmm.
it's the repetitiveness it's yoga. It's all that freeing your mind, and it's not about, let me play these changes, let me show you how I know all this harmony. It's very, very spiritual. That's where hip-hop is coming from. You know, obviously hip-hop is like, it's like jazz. They both came out of, you know, oppression, you know, and depression and something really, really, really bad. And then you have this beautiful music mm-hmm. that came out of that. Most art is like that, you know.
Mm-hmm. Going back to the blues.
Period. Exactly. So for me, that's what hip-hop is. It's like literally a mantra, and these loops happen, 2-bar loops or 4-bar loops, and they keep happening over and over again, and it literally puts you in some sort of trance. And
where does the creativity come in? If I'm playing Devil's Advocate and I say, oh, well, this is just these 4 chords
right.
over and over and over.
Right.
Is the creativity then, yes, but how do I sustain interest? How do I vary the coloration? How do I vary the orchestration?
The creativity comes from, how do I make you feel? It's not about let me show you everything I can do over this.
Mm-hmm.
It's not, when people come to my shows, I'm not necessarily trying to always wow you and dazzle you with my pianistic skills. I'm trying to change how you feel. It's, you know what I mean? It's, some things are based on feeling. That's where the creativity comes in. It's like, yeah, I didn't play much, but you cried. I didn't play much, but you laughed.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't play much, but I had you thinking about all kinds of things. You know what I mean? So sometimes I like to leave space and let your mind be the creative thing and see what comes up in your mind. So really, it's a mutual thing. Mm-hmm. I always say it's like I supply the apartment and I let you move in your furniture. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Or something like that. So for me,
make your space my space.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. And that's where the creativity comes in. It's not so obvious. It's like, but how do you feel? You know what mm-hmm. I mean? Like, for instance, when you're getting a massage, they purposely don't play music that's a lot going on. You know, they play music that frees your mind and it's just space. Mm-hmm. And it's very, you know, like that. So that's kind of my version of that. Live, you know what I mean? I want to be the soundtrack to your thoughts, and I want to leave room for your thoughts. You know what I mean? That's the vibe.
Boom. You know?
Boom.
But sometimes you get a little more explicit because you'll have these, let's call it a spoken word soundscape,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
where you have a, I want to call it a supportive groove, because mm-hmm. the, got over, what's the gentleman's?
Oh, Harry Belafonte.
Harry Belafonte. Yes. Yep. Which one of the most affecting speeches of the century, talking about how he got over, how he's not educated, but how he got through, and his is an unlikely story, et cetera. Mm. And so that's happening on top, and then you're almost supporting that narrative with your music.
And I realize, I'm just realizing this just now. I've never had this thought before. I mean, this totally makes sense. That comes from church.
Mm-hmm.
Because in church, growing up, we would always play softly under the preacher, under the deacon that's saying the prayer. There was always a prayer being said, but under the prayer, there's always music under the prayer. And the music was supporting the prayer, not getting in the way, but just supporting the prayer. And that's where that comes from. All the times I've done it, I realized just now in this moment,
mm-hmm.
that's what that is.
Let me tell you. I am. I'm not dead yet. So the sum total has not yet been added up. So let me tell you who I think I am. I'm one of the ones of color who got over. I'm one of the ones your bullet missed.
And you know, because as musicians, a lot of times, most musicians, we don't have a strong voice in what's going on in the world today, in the political climate, or the climate of the society right now with all that's going on with the police and all that stuff. We don't have a strong voice. Most musicians don't even have a big platform, instrumentalists, because a lot of times we'll write a song and it'll be like, yeah, this is for, you know, Ferguson. Mm-hmm. But if you just play it on the radio, or if somebody hears it and they didn't hear you say, this is for Ferguson, this, you know, the message
context
might not. The context isn't there. And the message might get lost.
Mm-hmm.
When I put spoken word to things, now the message can't get lost. It's mm-hmm. It translates to everyone. You know what I mean? Everybody speaks English. Everybody.
And there's no way around it. That's not, you know.
No.
You can't cut it out.
You can't cut it out.
Mm-hmm.
People understand English,
mm-hmm.
but they don't always understand music.
Mm-hmm.
That's the reality of it.
Wow.
People like it. People may like certain music, but they don't really understand it all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't want to leave out, especially when it's a really important subject I'm trying to get across, a really important view I want to get across. And I know I can't necessarily get across musically. So I'm like, well, let me get someone to say it.
Mm-hmm.
So then there's no discrepancy at all.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
And now, white people, disclaimer, if you don't understand what Mr. Glasper is talking about here as far as music and as far as organ and drums supporting what the deacon is saying, go ahead and check out Obama's fantastic eulogy for the victims of the Charleston shooting, where he eventually goes into
Amazing
Grace. But before that, at high points in his speech, you'll hear a sustain of an organ come in, and that is to sustain what the speaker is saying.
As we all have to acknowledge, the flag has always represented more than just ancestral pride.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
permitting black and white. That flag was a reminder of systemic oppression and racial subjugation. We see that now.
It's almost like a movie as well.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Soundtrack.
Soundtrack. A lot of people don't realize how much a soundtrack really makes or breaks a movie. Knowing when to have music and knowing when not to have music.
That's right. When to get out of the way.
When to get out of the way. Mm-hmm. When to shut up. Knowing when to shut up is just as important as knowing when to talk.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
In many different situations. You know what I mean? So,
especially as an interviewer. Right. Or an interviewee.
Exactly. There are some interviewers that just... don't let the person get a word in edgewise. Mm-hmm. They're always inflecting their shit and won't let you finish talking. Yeah. You know?
And he's speaking specifically about Charlie Rose, everyone. A little bit to the Robert Glasper experiment, Black Radio and Black Radio 2, which is where you earned those Grammys. I see the Robert Glasper experiment as this kind of jazz, R&B, hip-hop collective.
Yeah.
And I see that as part of a trend that's happening now on albums. I mean, for a very long time in hip-hop, of course, you have featured rappers guesting on tracks.
Right.
But now... happily, sometimes the guests are taking over. There's no star to the show.
Right.
And we see that, too, on Kendrick Lamar's brilliant album, mm-hmm. To Pimp a Butterfly, which you were involved on the keys. Mm-hmm. So talk about, you know, what's the atmosphere or the planning behind setting something like that up?
Man, I always say the universe co-produces on my albums
mm-hmm.
because nothing goes the way I want it. You know, I have it's adorable when you have some stuff in your mind how you think it should go. It's absolutely adorable, but you know, then life actually happens, and
album is what happens when you're busy making other plans.
Thank you, John, yeah. Mr. John Lennon. Yes, exactly. That's totally the vibe. So what I do for these albums, I have like 20 guests in my mind or 30 guests in my mind, and most of them for Black Radio 1, I knew everybody. I just text everyone, like, yo, I'm doing an album, blah, 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 blah. Right. So all the artists always say, yeah, cool, I'm down. But then when you get to the manager, that's one conversation. The agents and the record labels and different conversations. And some people just, the timing doesn't work out. They're working on their own album or they're on tour or whatever it is. You know what I mean? So I just throw a big net, and when I pull the net in, whoever's left is what I do. You know what I mean? Some things come last minute, work out, you know. You know, like Snoop, for instance, when Snoop got on the record. But yeah, I let the universe make half of it. That's pretty much how it always goes, you know, and it just unfolds like that. Even with Kendrick Lamar's album, you know, he's kind of like that too. He's kind of just like, everything's not necessarily thought out. I don't think he's very of the moment.
Mm-hmm.
Like for me, I went to the studio to play one song,
mm-hmm.
to play on for free. That was it. And then while I was there, he was like, oh my God, man, you're killing. Yo, pull up so-and-so, pull mm-hmm. up this, pull up that. Mm-hmm. And then one sitting, I played on 8 songs, you know, right there. He was just like, play what you hear. What do you hear on it?
But all that said, that's a tightly wound album that he's put together. And he brings it together again with spoken word. This, I remember you was conflicted,
totally.
Dialogue that runs through
the whole thing.
And just a crushing finale that you don't see coming.
Amazing. Yeah. And that finale, yeah, man, I played that finale. I came back to L.A. during the Grammys. And during that Grammy week, we went to the studio and did that. The very last song in there, he interviews Tupac. You know, that was just like... absolutely amazing, you know, Mortal Man.
Hey, yeah. Mandela, hope my flow stay propelling. Let these words be your earth and moon. You consume every message as I lead this army, make room for mistakes and depression. And with that being said,
do you know why Snoop Dogg carries an umbrella?
I have no idea.
For drizzle.
For drizzle. Is that the new joke?
You've been listening to Soundboard, the Steinway & Sons podcast. Visit steinway.com/soundboard to learn more. We heard clips from Stella by Starlight, Reckoner, and Got Over, all from the Robert Glasper Trio album Covered on Blue Note Records. We also heard Smells Like Teen Spirit and Afro Blue from the Robert Glasper Experiment album Black Radio, also on Blue Note. And we heard Mortal Man from Kendrick Lamar's album To Pimp a Butterfly on Aftermath and Interscope Records. Our intro and outro music is Mad Rush by Philip Glass, performed live on a Steinway Model M by me, Ben Finan, editor-in-chief of Listen, Life with Music and Culture. Visit steinway.com/listen to learn more.